Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. If you like what you hear in the Bible study today, there's 10 years worth of Bible studies available free of charge at john14.15.org. Now let's turn to today's Bible study. If you join me in Bible study this morning, please open up your Bibles to the book of Hosea. The very name Hosea means salvation. What do you suppose the book is about? It's about salvation. And we're in chapter 2, verse 12. But before we get to verse 12, let's look back at verse 11 to see the continuity of thought. Verse 11 says, I will cause all her mirth to cease. What's mirth? Gladness, joy. So is this a reward for something that God takes away everything that's fun? No, it's a punishment. Her feast days, what are we talking about feast days? We're talking about Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, etc. So when God takes those away, it's as a punishment. Her new moons. Why is the new moon significant? The new moon is how you time the feasts and festivals. It marks the beginning of each month. That new calendar people keep talking about from things that were found in the Qumran Dead Sea Scrolls is not a lunar calendar, it's solar. It ignores the moon. Her Sabbath. Was the Sabbath not meant to be a burden? No, it's meant to be a joy. And when God takes it away, it's a judgment. All her appointed feasts. So when it says all her appointed feasts, after it said her feast days, what does that tell us about the new moons and the Sabbaths? They're also feasts. They're also appointed times, which means they prophesy the first or second coming of Messiah. What does the Sabbath prophesy? The coming millennial kingdom when Messiah returns and rules and reigns in a kingdom of peace, love, and harmony. So verse 12 says, and I will destroy her vines and her fig trees. Whenever you see the phrase, the vines and the fig trees, it's a teaching about the messianic kingdom. Yep, we're going to see that in just a minute. Of which she has said, these are my wages that my lovers have given me. So when God brings the fruit of the vine from which they make the grape juice and the wine, and the fig trees for all those delicacies, who is the northern kingdom of Israel giving praise to? Baal and Ishtar, the pagan gods of the world. So I'll make them a forest. He's going to cause these vines and fig trees to just populate all over the land of Israel because the people aren't going to be there. And the beasts of the field shall eat them. He says, if the beasts of the field are the only ones that appreciate what I provide, I'll provide plenty for them. But you're going to be gone into captivity. So the symbolism of the vine and the fig tree, which means safety and security. Go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. There's something that happens in the New Testament that you need to understand the symbolism of the vine and the fig tree to understand. We got to build up to it. 1 Kings chapter 4. Verse 25. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 25. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree. From Dan as far as Beersheba, Dan's in the north, Beersheba's in the south, all the days of Solomon. So what does it indicate here that the vine and fig tree teach about? Safety. Peace and safety. Go to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 31. We were talking just before service about the Rabshakeh. Well, 2 Kings 18 is about the Rabshakeh. He was a high-ranking official from the king of the north that had come to threaten Israel. And in verse 31, here's what the Rabshakeh delivers to Israel on behalf of his king. It says, "Do not listen to Hezekiah." Hezekiah is the king of Judah. "For thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the water of his own cistern." So what's the promise? Surrender, join us. We'll make sure that you have safety, that you have provision, that you have everything you need. You'll be happy. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy. Yeah, that's something you hear a lot today, isn't it? Okay. You'll be in captivity and like it. Go to the book of Joel. Joel in Hebrew is Ya'el. It means the Lord is God. Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1. Not very far after Hosea. Joel chapter 1, verse 7. When the nation has been judged by God and sent into captivity, then you read these words, Joel 1, 7. "He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree." That means the peace and safety has been taken from the land, and the people have been judged by God and sent out into captivity. "He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. His branches are made white." What's wrong with the fig tree's branches being made white? Means the bark has been stripped away and the tree's going to die. When Messiah rode into Jerusalem, remember he cursed the fig tree?
So sorry.
No worry. I'm going to mute everybody. Just fix that. Okay. When Messiah rode into Jerusalem and cursed the fig tree and it died, people say that means Israel died. Yes, it does. That's exactly what it means. But then you got to read Ezekiel 37, a vision of Valley of Dry Bones, which is the resurrection. So without Messiah, they became like dead men's bones. When they start coming back to faith, then they get reborn. So you can't stop with the fig tree died, because that's not the end of the story. That's just partway through. Go to Micah chapter 4. Yes, ma'am.
So sorry. What I was going to say is I noticed in my Bible that the "my vine" is capitalized, or the "my" is capitalized. Is that implying the Lord?
That's implying the Lord, but remember, that's not in the Hebrew. That's just what your translators and publishers decided to do.
Okay.
Yep. Micah 4:4. What's significant about Micah 4:4 is Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 are about the Messianic kingdom. So what is verse 4 about? The Messianic kingdom. So let's read verses 1 through 3 before we get to 4, just to give us a background. "Now it shall come to pass in the," if your Bible says "latter days," take your pencil and fix it. Make it say "end of days," with "end of days" capitalized. The Hebrew is acharit hayamim. And some of you are still trying to find Micah, so let me tap dance a minute more. "Shall come to pass in the end of days," that's the Hebraic way of saying the Messianic kingdom, "that the mountain of the Lord's house," that is the kingdom. A mountain in prophecy is a kingdom. It's Messiah's kingdom here. "Shall be established on the top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills," which means Messiah's kingdom will be over every other kingdom of the world. What's he called in Revelation 19? King of kings and Lord of lords. He's over all the nations. "And people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob." What's the house of the God of Jacob? That's the temple. That's where Messiah rules and reigns, according to Ezekiel chapter 43. "He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, the law, the Torah, shall go forth." Word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So what's Messiah going to teach when he returns? The Torah. "He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Where do you find those words in America today? On the United Nations or United Nonsense, depending upon your preference. What the United Nations is saying, we don't need God. We can do this ourselves. See how well that's worked out? Yep. So verse 4 says, but everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. And no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. So sitting under the vine, under the fig tree in peace and safety is a sign and symbol of the Messianic kingdom. Why is there such peace and safety in the world when Messiah rules and reigns? Because there is no more war. Even the animals don't hurt people, as we've read before. Now go to Zechariah chapter 3, verse 10. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 10. Zephaniah and Zechariah may both begin with a Z, but they're not the same book. So Zechariah 3:10. In that day, what day? Day of the Lord, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. So again, a reference to the kingdom. And now, is it the book of John? Let's go up to the book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 47. Well, we'll start in 46. Or how about 45? Well, pages are still turning, so we're not locked in yet. Okay, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law, talking about book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, and also the prophets wrote, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Why would he say that? Is Nazareth a pigsty or something? No. Nazareth is an itty bitty tiny blip. That's right. The stonemasons who worked on the Roman amphitheater at Zipporah wouldn't live with the Romans, so they established their little community of Nazareth where they could be separated from the Romans and yet still work on that amphitheater. And that's where Joseph and Mary lived when Messiah was little. Philip said to him, come and see. Yeshua saw Nathanael coming toward him. What does Nathanael mean? It means gift of God. And said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Yeshua answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael means and understands what Messiah is saying is, I saw you in the Messianic kingdom. That's how I know that you are without guile. Who can know who's going to be in the Messianic kingdom? Messiah. Verse 20, Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Yeshua answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than these. Said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What does that mean? It's a reference back to Jacob's ladder. It is. Tell me more.
It's saying that ladder is Messiah.
The ladder is Messiah. What is our access to God? It is through Messiah. He is our pathway. He is our way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, that's cool. That's good. Back to Hosea chapter 2, verse 13. So in verse 12, when God says, I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, it means God's going to take peace and safety out of the land. The people are going to go into captivity. Why? What did they do?
Idolatry.
Oh, you said the same thing? Yeah, they turned away from God. They forgot God. Now, they didn't forget his name. They're calling on God all the time. Lord, give me this, give me that, give me the other thing. But what does the scripture say? If you don't follow God's commandments, you have forgotten him. You've forsaken him.
You know, that's what Elijah was railing on the people. He said, make up your mind. If you're going to serve Baal, serve Baal. If you're going to serve
yeah.
God, serve
Baal. That's what Elijah was saying in 1 Kings chapter 18. Choose today who you will serve. Will you serve God or will you serve Baal? Which one's God? Make up your mind. Because they wanted to have one foot in each kingdom. We'll give God a few lambs. We'll give Baal and Ishtar a few lambs. And well, maybe somebody's God. That's what you call lukewarm. That's Laodicean. Keep one foot in God's kingdom, one foot in Satan's kingdom, and hopefully it'll all work out. One foot will survive. Yeah. What does God say? You get spewed out. So, verse 13 says, I will punish her. Her who? Israel. In the Bible, in biblical Hebrew, everything has either masculine or gender, feminine gender words associated with it. And places and nations have feminine words associated with them. That's why her. There is no neutral in Hebrew, in biblical Hebrew. I will punish her for the days of the Baals. The Baals refer to the idols collectively, like Baal and Ishtar and Moloch and Dagon and all those kind of guys. For the days of the Baals to which she burned incense, she decked herself with her earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers. In other words, she decked up like a prostitute to go chase after the pagan idols. But me she forgot, says the Lord. Give me one verse, one anywhere that says, if you don't keep my commandments, you have forgotten me.
That's in Jeremiah 17.
Well, let's go look at Jeremiah. You said 17, it's not 16.
It's in that general sentence.
Yeah, we'll start in 16. It bleeds over into 17 and 18.
It's 16.
Yeah. Jeremiah 16. It's in the right hand column of the right hand page.
Jeremiah
something, right? Right. Jeremiah 16, we'll start in verse 9, where God makes a very similar, I hate to use the word threat, but that's probably the best way to describe it. Verse 9, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease from this place. Before your eyes and in your days, the voice of mirth. See that same word from Hosea? And the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. And it shall be when you show this people all these words. That is, when you tell them what's going to happen. And they say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great disaster against us? Or what's our iniquity? What's our sin that we've committed against the Lord our God? These are the people bowing down to the pagan idols that they've set up in the temple of God, saying, what did we do wrong? They legitimately don't know why, because the false prophets and false priests have been teaching them that this is okay. That so long as you throw God a lamb now and then, God doesn't care what you do the rest of the time. Any truth to that? They didn't have a copy of the scrolls to read. Nobody back in those days except the most wealthy could afford a copy of the Torah scrolls. So if the priests who are supposed to be teaching the Torah to the people are not teaching the people, what do they know?
I mean, there's like 450 prophets of Baal and one.
There's 450 prophets of Baal and one of Elijah.
So
who are you going to listen to?
Probably going to listen to the majority.
Yeah. So they want to know, what do we do? So verse 11, Jeremiah is going to tell them. Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord. They've walked after other gods and have served them and have worshipped them and have forsaken me and not kept my law. But wait a minute, the scripture says we can't be punished for what our parents did. So read the next verse. And you have done worse than your fathers. So instead of repenting and turning away from the sins of your fathers, you made them worse. Each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart so that no one listens to me. In other words, you do what you want, not what I commanded you to do. The next word is therefore. What does therefore mean?
Because.
Because you're worse than your fathers, because each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart, so that no one listens to me. Therefore, I'll cast you out of this land to a land that you do not know, neither you nor your fathers. There you shall serve other gods day and night, or I will not show you favor. So back in Hosea, God's saying, oh, the land's going to blossom. It's going to provide fruit. You're just not going to be here to enjoy it. I'll let the beasts of the field eat it. How many of you have vines of fruit or trees of fruit on your property? Do you still have when the deer are done with it? No, they come in, they eat everything, right? The apples, the pears, the grapes, the raspberries, even your roses. They'll just clean it all out. So God says, don't worry, they'll take care of it. It won't go to waste. So, in addition to what we said about verse 13, let's go to Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. Judges right after Joshua. Chapter 3 is right after chapter 2, but you probably guessed that already. Judges chapter 3, verse 7. Moses dies in what's today called Jordan. Joshua leads the people over the Jordan River. And for the next 400 years, we're under the time of the judges. So that's when this occurs. Early in the book of Judges, we're early in the time that Israel has crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. But Joshua has died. And in Judges chapter 3, verse 7, it says, so the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. In other words, the pagan idols, the sun god, the moon goddess. Yeah.
And this was the very next generation after Joshua.
This is the very next generation after Joshua. It's not hundreds of years later. That's why I wanted you to see how early it is in Judges. Under the reign of Joshua, the people were led correctly and they worshiped the Lord for the most part. But as soon as Joshua is gone, the people say, now we can do what we want.
But you know, Joshua even told them, he said, y'all are not able. You know, they're, we're going to do it. And he said, y'all are not able.
Yeah, they told Joshua, we're going to be true to the Lord. We're going to keep every commandment. And Joshua said, oh, no, you're not. You're not able to. And you know what? He was right. Yeah. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 12.
So are we any different from
them? Nope. For the most part, we are not. But I'm trying to teach people to be different. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9. And when they forgot the Lord their God, we know what that means, and some of you haven't gotten there yet. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines. What does it mean he sold them into? It means he let them be conquered. God could have protected Israel and kept them from being conquered. But when they turned their backs on God, God said, I'll take my hands of protection off and let you see how it goes. How did it go?
Not well.
Answer is not well. That's right. Yes, ma'am.
But since the USA isn't in here anywhere.
Since the U.S. of America is not here in the end times prophecy.
Aren't we doing the same thing as Israel?
That was Karen's question. The answer is absolutely. How many times do you hear well-known theologians on YouTube or the radio or television saying, don't you follow God's commandments? That was for them. That doesn't apply to us. They were doing the same thing in the days of the judges. And how did it work out for them? How many of you heard that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? When you turn your back on God, does life go well? Answer is no. Does God bring judgment on the nations? Answer is yes. That's what we're seeing in Jeremiah. God didn't just bring judgment on Israel. He brought every nation of the world into captivity. Why? For the same reason. Because they refused to follow his commandments. What's that?
It's that whole mystery of lawlessness.
It's that whole mystery of lawlessness.
You know, and I was thinking, you know, that like the devil, he's a one-trick pony. It's the same trick.
The devil's a one-trick pony. That's the same thing from Genesis chapter 3 on.
And people still fall for it.
Yeah. And people still fall for it. And Mulaney asked, does that mean America is about to fall under God's judgment? The answer to that is, yep-er. One thing you'll hear most prophecy teachers say is the United States of America is not in end times prophecy. Something bad's going to happen to this nation. And 50 years ago, people were going, I wonder what's going to happen. Today we go, we got a really good idea what's going to happen. Go to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 21. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 21. I mean, it's not like the New Testament says we're supposed to read the Old Testament and learn from it. Actually, yes, it says exactly that. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 21. A voice was heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel. What are supplications?
Prayers.
Prayers to God, help us, help us. For they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Therefore, return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. So when they cry out to God, help us, deliver us, he says what? Repent first, then I will deliver you. They don't want to repent. They want to be delivered without repentance.
And that's the teaching today.
And that's the teaching today. That's what I grew up with. Is if you walk down that aisle as a child, repeated after the pastor, even though you didn't know what he was talking about, and he dumped you in the tub, now you can go sin all you want, and God's okay with it. Where's that in the scripture? It's nowhere.
So many places you look at online.
So many places you look at online.
Say, you don't have to repent, that's a work.
Say you don't have to repent, that is a work. You're trying to be saved by works if you repent. You can find many, many commentaries that say that. What is it the prophets say? Repent. What was the first thing John the Baptist taught? Repent. What's the first thing Messiah taught? Repent. What's the first thing Peter taught? Repent. How many times does repent or repentance appear in the New Testament? It's what, 58 times? If God says something once, it's important. Twice, it's really important. 58 times, you think maybe he meant it? Even Paul says, you repent, you turn to God, which they translated poorly in our Bibles.
Yeah, you convert, but then you do works befitting repentance.
Then you do works befitting repentance, meaning your works, your obedience, will show that you truly have repented.
It's not you just make a confession of faith and then hope everything turns out.
You don't just make a confession of faith without repentance and hope everything turns out well, because it's not going to. So, did we go to Jeremiah 3 yet? Then let's go to Jeremiah 13. Just add 10 more chapters to it. Verse 25. This is your lot. What's that mean, this is your lot? This is what you're going to get, yeah. The portion of your measures from me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me, and trusted in falsehood. The falsehood referred to the idols. Therefore, I will uncover your skirts over your face, that your shame may appear. That means you're going into captivity. Why? Because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Where did you put your faith? In the idols. One last cross reference for verse 13 is Ezekiel chapter 23.